Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechiros Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 2 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Omid Beis. You will notice a diamond appears around Rav Huna Reid Rav Yeshua. You will also notice the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text in number 2. This is because this is the second of these diamond markings that were explained at the very end of our previous shiur. So just to recap, we had a Tanaic source, a rather brief one, that had said that the etzba spoken about by the sages was 1/4 of a handbreadth, of a tefach. That means 4 fingers would equal a handbreadth. And the 4 fingers referred to be 4 thumb widths. If you were to line up 4 thumb widths, one next to the other, that would equal a tefach. The Gemara had asked, well, with regard to what halacha was this Tanaic source stated? Rabbah gave his opinion, and it had to do with halachas concerning tzitzis. And we continue now with today's shiur, second line from the bottom, Rav Huna Brev Yeshua Omar, L'shtei Amois. The tefach equaling 4 etzbos, the etzba in question has to do with the additional 2 official amo lengths that are featured in the following source. Before we learn the source, let us say a word or two about what we're going to see. As you know, there are official lengths you have in, let's say, in the government office of weights and measures, the official foot length or the official meter. You have the atomic clock that gives you the official time. So too, there was an official amo. The official amo is of a given length. We'll say it has, for convention's sake, we'll say it has 6 handbreadths in it. This source features that an additional 2 kinds of amos. We will find in this source, 1 of the 2 amos is a half an etzba, a half a finger width greater than the standard amo, and the second amo referred to is a full etzba greater than the official amo. These 2 amos were located in an office that was built on the Beis HaMikdash. The office referred to is called Shushan HaBira. It was an office, and in this office there were these 2 special, longer type amos. The source will mention why there was any necessity to have these additional amo lengths. But for our purposes, not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, the reason we're discussing this is because these additional amos, these 2 additional amos, were greater than the standard amo, using an etzba as a dimension or as a measure to indicate the increased length of these special amos. A half an etzba in one case and a full etzba in the other. Now, which etzba are we talking about? We're talking about that etzba which is 1/4 of a handbreadth, or simply stated, a thumb width. As far as why there was a need for these additional amos, that will be mentioned in the source. Now, we continue in the Gemara. So, Rav Huna Brev Yeshua says, I need the teaching of an etzba is termed as 1/4 of a handbreadth, for the following 2 special amos. Disnan shtei amos hoyu b'shushan habira. Shushan habira is the name of the office that was built, amongst other offices, built on the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. Achas al keren mizrachis tzvoinis v'achas al keren mizrachis droimis. These two Amos, were one of which were located on the northeastern corner of this office, and the other on the southeastern corner of this office. Sha'al Keren Mizrachis Svoinis, the one that was positioned or located on the northeastern corner, Hoiso Yesera Al Shel Moshe Chatzi Etzba, it was greater than the Moshe Rabbeinu, than the official Amo, by a half a finger width. V'Sha'al Keren Mizrachis Romis, the new Amo, the extra Amo that was on the southeastern corner of this office, Hoysa Yesera Oleo Chatzi Etzba, was greater than the northeastern Amo by another half an Amo. Nimseis, a half an Etzba, that is. Nimseis Yesera Al Shel Moshe, it turns out then the southeastern new Amo was greater than the Moshe Rabbeinu Amo Etzba, by a full Etzba. And as we said, the Etzba here is a thumb width. The Loma Hoyu, Achas Gedoilo V'Achas Ketano, why did you have these two extra Amos, one larger, the other one a bit smaller? Answer, Sheyu Umnin Noitlin Biktano. Umnin is a reference to craftsmen, artisans, that would do work for the Beis HaMikdash. They were paid with holy funds, with money that if one would receive it inappropriately or undeservedly, there would be a type of we'll call it a quasi mi'ila problem, because why we're hesitating in calling it straight out mi'ila, this is already a bigger discussion, but for convention's sake we'll say there's a prohibition of benefiting undeservedly from holy funds. So we are going to mention why we had these extra amos, so as to prevent that problem. So the source here says they would noitlin biktana, the artisan would take the job, saying how much he needs to get paid, using the small amo standard. We'll call that the official Moshe Rabbeinu standard. So let us say that there was work that needed to be done for over an area of five amos of let's say of stone work or of metallic work. So he would say that it costs to have this job done, and it would be measured in terms of the smaller amo rate, the smaller amo size, and he would give a price based on the small amo size. So if it were, let's say, five amos of work that needed to be done, he would state his price based on five amos of the official Moshe Rabbeinu amo. Umachzirin bigdola. And then when the job was done, we would measure the amount of work that he did using the larger amo, so that if he said that, well, the job is a five amo job, we would then measure using the gedola, the larger type amo, and it would turn out that it would come out to less than five amos of work. Shelo yovo lidei mi'ila, so that we would thereby prevent any misappropriation of Beis HaMikdash funds. Because as it is, people who, let's say, claim they're going to do five amos of work, it might turn out that they do a little bit less, and then they'll get paid for a full five amos of work, so that discrepancy, that little extra, will be a problem of receiving undeserved funds, or as we call it here, mi'ila. Mi'ila being the sin of using, of receiving benefit from hektish funds. So that, as we just said, he would take the job telling us how much it costs, basing it on the official amo, and then when it comes to paying him, the work would be measured using the larger amo. Now, Vitarti Lomoli, why do you have to have two additional amo measures? As we mentioned before, one was a chatzi etzba greater than the official amo, and the other one was a full etzba greater than the official amo. So the answer is chado lekaspo v'zavo, the one in the northeast, which was just a half etzba greater, that is the measure used in cases of people that would do work in gold, in kaspa, silver, and zahava, gold. So the artisan who would provide these materials, the silver and gold, those are very expensive materials. So that in the case of a discrepancy, even a minor discrepancy, is a matter of a lot of money. So that in order to minimize any possible loss, we increase the size of the amah by just a half an etzba when it comes to measuring out how much work he actually did. The chadah, the one in the southeast, lebinyana, that was for masonry work. And that is, of course, if the artisan actually did invest a little more in materials, it wouldn't cause him any significant loss. The Gemara goes on with an additional diamond. You can see Rav Nachman Yitzchok appears in a diamond, and he is called number three. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the Itemo Rav Huna Bar Noson. What is the purpose of the source that we saw at the end of Lamed Tes Amid Beis that said the etzba spoken about was 1/4 of a handbreadth? He says that, and this is the third opinion, it's La'oysa Shishaninu, regarding that which we learned in our Mishnah dealing with Mumin, Oishiyesh Bosar Bein Chuli L'Chulia Maloi Etzba. If there was flesh between each vertebrae, and the amount of flesh would measure an etzba, so that would constitute a mum, a type of blemish. And the etzba mentioned in this figure is the thumb, 1/4 of a tefach, 4 thumbs equaling a tefach. And hence that undefined Tanaic source was, according to Rav Nachman, referring to the etzba mentioned in our Mishnah. We go on in the Gemara. We encounter now a new Mishnah. On the side, we have our Nosei, our topic heading. In the Shas Ozer, the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we have title headings, topic headings that we call Nosei, and structural notes that we call Mivneh. These appear from time to time when a new sugya or new structure, new marking or structure appears and needs introduction. So in this case, we have the Nosei that says on the outside margin, Machlekes Tanoim, we'll see a Tanaic controversy, Bevachor She'ein Loi Beitzim V'yesh Lo Kisin. We're talking about a Bechor, which of course is a firstborn male animal, so we're dealing with the male or gender organs. Beitzim is a reference to testicles, and Kisim is a reference to the scrotum, that skin that contains, or sac that contains, the beitzim. So the Mishnah says, Ein loy beitzim, oy ein loy elo beitzo achas. If you have a bechor, a firstborn male animal that has no testicles, or it has only one, that constitutes a mum. Now this opening phrase is a little bit strange, because if you're telling me that if it has one, it is considered a mum, then certainly if it has none, why the necessity of making these two points that the Gemara will discuss? Well, that we call the opening opinion. That's number one. Number two, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, im yesh lo shnei kisim, yesh lo shnei beitzim. The normal formation of the gender organs in the case of animals they would have two separate sacs, if you will, that contained each one beitza. So if it has two kisin, then it has two beitzim. Ein loy elo kis echad, ein lo elo beitza achas. If it has only one kis, then it has only one beitza. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Moshivo Oso al Akuzo. If you have an animal that has this, you are not sure as to how many beitzim it has, so you Moshivo, set the animal al Akuzo on its posterior, the umimaech, and you feel around im yesham beitza sofa lotzeis. If you, in your feeling around, you feel a beitza, then you can assume that it will emerge. Eventually will come down. It will descend into its proper place. Maisa Shemiech Velo Yotza. There was an incident where it was felt around and it didn't descend. V'nishchat. And it was then slaughtered. V'nimtseis Devuka V'ksolim. And it was found to be stuck. The Beitza was stuck in its loins. V'hitir Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva allowed it. V'osa Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. And Rabbi Yochanan Benuri was strict. The point here is Rabbi Akiva allowed it to be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash, being that he viewed this as a mum, that it didn't descend, it was stuck in the in this upper chamber in the Ksalim, and it had not descended, and it therefore Rabbi Akiva says this is a mum. Rabbi Yochanan Benuri, though, was strict. The Gemara now asks on the opening point of the Mishnah, Hashta ein lo elo beitza achas amris havi muma. Now you tell me in the opening of the Mishnah that if it has one beitza, this is a blemish. Ein lo klal mibaya. If it has none, do I need to be told that that's a blemish? Obviously, that's a blemish. It's even further from normalcy. Chisurei mechasra v'achi katoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, and thusly we are to understand the Mishnah. And now what you see, you have a framed section. This is the Gemara's understanding of the Tanay of the Mishnah. And in Gemara markings, we view the understanding or the rereading of Tanaic sources as if they are Tanaic sources, and hence we treat them marking-wise accordingly, with a frame. So, thusly, we are to understand our Mishnah with the three opinions that you see. Number one, Ein lo shtei beitzim b'shtei kisim, elo b'kis echad. If an animal has its two beitzim, but they are in only one sack, inami shtei kisim, or you have two kisim, ve'ubeitza achas, and only one beitza, hare ze mum. This constitutes a blemish. So two beitzim in one kiss, or two kisin, but only one beitza, either one, that's a blemish. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, yesh loy shnei kisin. In the case of two kisin, biyodua shiyesh lo shnei beitzim. Then it is known that there are two beitzim. So Rashi points out that Rabbi Shmuel is arguing with the seifa of the opening, the seifa, the second comment of the opening point. So you can see with our markings, we've dashed underlined shtei kisim in both cases, so as to highlight that the point of Rabbi Shmuel is addressed regarding the seifa of the opening comment. So Rabbi Shmuel is going on the case of shtei kisim. The Tanakama said the presence of shnei kisim is not enough to call it a tamim, an unblemished animal. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, if there are two kisim, so it's considered unblemished because he says that there are two beitzim. Ein loy elo kis echad. If it has only one kiss, kemi she'ein loy elo beitzo achas domi. It's viewed as if it has only one beitza. V'osa Rabbi Akiva lememar, v'yodua loyamrinan. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel regarding this issue of v'yodua, of it is known. We say we don't go on that assumption. Ela moshiva akuza, rather, position the animal on its akuza, on its posterior, v'umamayich, and feel around. Im yesham beitza, soifoi lotzeis. If there is a beitza, if you feel a beitza, then it will eventually descend. Maisa shemiech velo yotza v'chulei. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa b'piron or piroz shel beis Menachem. There are different pshatim on this expression. Some say it's a reference to a town, a kfar, a village. Some explain it as poro shel beis Menachem, a cow of beis Menachem. Whatever the case is, an incident took place. Shemiech velo yotzos. There was a feeling for the beitza, and it didn't descend. V'nishchat, and the animal was slaughtered. V'nimseis devuka b'ksolim, and a beitza was found, but it was stuck to the ksolim, to the loins. V'hiter Rabbi Akiva, v'yoser Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. Rabbi Akiva said, this animal is a mum, a baal mum, and you can therefore eat the meat. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was restrictive. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ad mosai ato mechale mamonon shel Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva, addressing the strict Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he says, how long is it that you are going to destroy the money or the possessions of Israel? In the fact that you forbade the meat, you were declaring that it's the meat's forbidden, and they're going to have to, they can't benefit from it. So you're depriving the owner of benefit from his animal. Omar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has his claim against Rabbi Akiva and says, Ad mosai ato machil li Yisrael, and we have a slight, a small section in brackets. We skip it momentarily. Reading Kochim Bachutz. He asks, reading that again with the skip. Ad Mosat Hamachil Yisrael, Kochim Bachutz. Until when are you going to feed Israel, the Jewish people? Kochim are animals that are sanctified. Bachutz means outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's a prohibition of eating Kochim Bachutz. What's his point? He's saying that it's not a mum. The animal that had a beitza was simply located high up in the body and had not descended, but that's not enough to constitute it as a baal mum. And as such, it's tamim, it's unblemished, and as such, it's forbidden to slaughter a firstborn male outside the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what you were actually giving sanction to. So that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's claim against Rabbi Akiva's approach. Before we go any further, we have a bracketed section that we go over, and the reason for this is that the bracketed section contains a lashon version that's simply inaccurate, and therefore the accurate version is that which appears as we read it after the brackets. But now we reread the Gemara, taking into consideration that there will be several stages within this bracketed section where the Gemara tries to understand what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was claiming against Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had said to Rabbi Akiva, Ad mosa ato machil Yisrael, nevelos. Nevelos are animals that didn't receive a proper slaughtering. So the Gemara asks, Halav mishchat shachteh? Was it not slaughtered? Of course it was slaughtered. We're talking about a bechor that was slaughtered. And if once it's slaughtered, you don't call it an avela anymore. Elo trefos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying to Rabbi Akiva, how long is it that you're going to feed Israel? Trefos. So the Gemara says, lo isur trefos. There's no trefos issue here. Trefa is a situation where there's a defect in a limb or an organ that would endanger its life. Trefos are actually a very specific list that is found in Maseches Chulin of what constitutes a trefa. The beitza that's not in its normal location does not cause trefos at all. So there's no trefos problem here. Elo. So what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri saying to Begiva? Rather, Ad Mosa Tamachil Yisrael Kochim Bachutz. How long is it that you are going to continue allowing the Jews to eat sanctified animals, sacrificial animals outside the Beis HaMikdash? Allow them to be slaughtered and eaten outside the Beis HaMikdash. Kochim must be slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is coming off of his position that this beitza that wasn't in its location is not sufficient to classify it as a baal mum, and hence it was forbidden to sacrifice, to slaughter the bechor, which in effect is a sacrifice. So how is it that you, Rabbi Akiva, were allowing the slaughtering of something that is officially of sacrificial quality? The Mishnah, baal chomesh raglayim oi she'ein loy elo sholosh. Another example of a mum is a five-legged animal or a three-legged animal. Vishe raglov klutos kishel chamor. Or its legs, its hooves are... klutos is usually something that's a closed hoof, as opposed to kosher variety animals have split hooves. The animal described here is we'll call it a freakish animal. That's a kosher variety animal, but its legs look like that of a chamor, of a donkey, that it does not have a split hoof. v'hashochul v'hakosul, two other types of blemishes. Ezu shochul, what is a shochul? Shenishmeta yorechoi, its leg, its thigh is has been dislocated. V'kosul, that what is a kosul? She'achas miyorechoisov gavoa, that one of its legs is positioned higher than the other. Omar Ravuna, loy shanu, the Mishnah that says that you are dealing with a mum is a blemish, but it's not a trefa. This idea that we have an animal with, we'll say the leg problem featured in the Mishnah, that's classified as a mum and not a trefa, that's eloshechosar v'yoser biyad. The either the extra leg making it five-legged or the missing leg making it three-legged, that's because the front legs are problematic, either three front legs or one front leg. That would make it a baal mum and not a trefa. Aval, but regel, if the extra or missing were regarding the hind legs, trefa nami havi, that would not only be a baal mum, but it would be a trefa as well. The whole yosir kenotel domi. When you have something extra, in this case we're talking about the hind leg, an extra hind leg is like a missing hind leg. And a missing hind leg, we know, would make it into a trefa. Similarly, if it has an extra hind leg, that's the yosir extra, is as if it were missing. So that our Mishnah, which classifies the animal as a blemish, but not as a trefa, that's because we're dealing with the front legs. There is extra words that are added here, a new dibur hamaschil, v'raglov klutos kishel chamor. The hooves of the animal, of this bechor, resemble that of a donkey. Omar Rav Papa, loy tema de agilon velo sadikon. You don't have to say, or you don't need to explain the Mishnah as hooves looking completely like a chamor. What does it mean to look completely like a chamor, a donkey? Round and closed. But you don't have to say that the Mishnah requires that level of similarity to chamor to be considered a mum. Elo kevon de agilon, afalgav de stikon. It's enough if the shape of the foot of the hoof is round, even if it happens to be split. Split hooves are characteristic of kosher variety animals. However, if the shape of the hoof is rounded, that will make it into a baal mum, it's a blemish, even though it happens to be split. So when the Mishnah says that its legs are like that of a chamor, Rav Papa qualifying the parallel to chamor to saying that even in shape, even shape alone is enough to classify it as a mum. You notice we have a triangle around Rav Papa. The reason we've done this is that Rav Papa appears several times as commentary on several Mishnayos as we go along in the Gemara. You'll see Rav Papa a little later on this Amid, where he has the same type of comment, that's lo tema, that when the Mishnah gives a parallel to something else, he qualifies how extensive that parallel needs to be. And the same thing happens on Mem Omid Beis, the third wide line. Rav Papa appears again with this type of comment of qualifying the parallel the Mishnah had made. So we continue then in the Gemara, v'hashochul, v'hakosul, v'chulei. Tanu Rabbanan, ezu kosul, v'ezu shochul. These terms were mentioned as mumin in the Mishnah. Here the Braisa elaborates. Shochul means shenishmeta yerechoi, that its thigh has been nishmeta, is dislocated. Kosul, sheragloi echod besoich hakesel, v'raglo echod algabi hakesel. One leg is besoch hakesel, is attached to its normal point on the body, so it's probably a reference to the pelvic area, where you would expect a leg to be attached. The other one, the other leg, though, is attached above the spine, higher than the normal pelvic area connection. That's al gabi hakesel. So if you have that, that would be a baal mum. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that mentions other mumin, hasorua vahakolut. Sorua shenishtarbev yirecho. Sorua is a reference to an animal whose one leg is longer, is extended than the other. Kolut, shiraglov klutos kishel chamor ukishel sus. Kolut would be a closed hoofed animal, like you would expect to find on a donkey or on a horse. Before continuing, we have a topic heading that accompanies this upcoming sugya. The Nosei reads as follows: Mosai etzem shavur nechshav mum. When does a broken bone in an animal constitute a blemish? And another topic that will be discussed is galgal enoy doime l'shel adam v'oid, another mumin. Galgal eno has to do with the eye, the shape of the eye of an animal looking like that of a person, which is seemingly unusual, and as such it would be a mum, and other mumin will be referred to. The Mishnah: Nishbar etzem yodoi v'etzem ragloi afal pi she'enoi nikur. If there is the bone of a foreleg or hind leg, even if it's not recognizable. Mumin elu mono ilo biavne v'hoidu loy chachomim. These mumin have been enumerated by Elah, the name of a mum expert in the Yavne, the city of Yavne, and the Chachomim conceded to him. V'od gimel hoisif, and he added another three that will be featured in a minute. However, he adds three, umru loy shomanu elo elu. The Chachomim disagree with those that he adds to the list of mumin. Now, the following is the list of mumin that Elah adds. Es shigalgal eno agoil kishel odom, an animal whose eye is round like that of a person. Number two, upiv doime kishel chazir, a mouth that resembles that of a swine. And number three, vishenital roiv hamedaber shel lishonoi. And the majority of that part of the tongue which is involved in making, in a person, it would make a speech. It's a reference to the part of the tongue, the majority of that part of the tongue which is not attached to the animal's jaw. There's the free part of the tongue. So if the majority of the free part of the tongue is missing, that would be a mum. Ubeisin shel achreim omru hare elu mumin. A later court said that these are mumin. These constitute blemishes. The Gemara, observing the opening comment of the Mishnah, asks, Eino nikur mi kohave muma. The Mishnah opened up by saying, referring to broken bones, it said it would be a mum even if it's not nikur, even if it's not recognizable. But if something's not recognizable, why would you refer to it as a blemish? Omar of Papa, Eino nikur machmas atzmoi, avol nikur machmas melocha. Eino nikur, that the Mishnah meant, means that on just by gazing at the animal, you wouldn't recognize the broken bone. However, as the animal walks, you notice it's incapable of walking, it's limping. That is called machmas melacha. And so if it's recognizable in its walk, that is enough to classify it as a baal mum. Mumin, elu, mona, vichule. The continuation of that involves the es shigagal enoi ogol kishel odom. The Gemara now asks, lemeimra, is our Mishnah suggesting the lav hainu urche, that it's abnormal? From the fact that the Mishnah says an eye of an animal looking like that of a person is a mum, that means it's abnormal. Viraminu, we raise a contradiction. The source that appears now deals with a woman, a human being, a woman, who experiences a miscarriage. In general, a birth a human birth results in the mother becoming tumas leida. However, tumas leida depends on what type of birth she experienced, what type of miscarriage. Or we should add that not only a full-term live birth results in tumas leida, but even miscarriages constitute a leida, a birth, that would result in her experiencing the laws associated with childbirth. However, there are certain guidelines when you're dealing with a miscarriage. So, in the following source we read, Hamapeles min behema v'chayav oif, a woman who miscarries an embryo that looks like a cow, domesticated or undomesticated, or a bird. When we say domesticated with animal or undomesticated animal or a bird, being tamei, whether it be kosher, unkosher variety or kosher variety, im zohar, teshev lezohar, if the embryo that emerged was a male, so then she observes the rules of a male birth, which means as follows: there are 7 days of Tumah, and then 33 days that she is called Tahora. We're not going to elaborate any further in the context of our shir on this point, but that's what Zohar is referring to. In Nekevo, if it's a female birth, Teshev Lenekevo, then this woman who miscarried this freakish-looking embryo, she will observe the rules that apply to a female child birth. Eino Yodua, if the entity that emerged in this miscarriage is not clear of what gender it was, Teshev Lezocher Ule Nekeva Divrei Rebbe Meir. So then she has to observe the restrictions involved in a male birth, which would limit the number of Yemei Tahara, and the restrictions of a Nekeva, which will expand the number of days of Tumah. The Oma Rabo Babachanam Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Taimod Rebbe Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say that an animal miscarriage, in other words, a human being that miscarries an embryo looking like a behemoth, is considered, why does he consider this as if it were a regular birth? After all, it doesn't look like a human being. Or in other words, what is common between this kind of miscarriage of a min behema chayav oif to a human being? And so the answer to that is hoyol v'galgal enoi agol kishel adam. Means the animal's eye, it has this in common with a person. Its eye resembles that of a person. So you see, we've dashed underlined the main point. The main point is this explanation that galgal eno of a person is like that of an animal. So how can you tell us before that the animal eye looking like that of a person constitutes a blemish, which would be something unusual, when the explanation of this source indicates that it is usual? Amar Rav Yosef lo kashya, ha be'uchma, ha be'tzira. In the case of the source that we most recently learned, with Rabbi Meir saying the miscarriage of an animal form will result in Tumah, because of eye similarity, there is eye similarity with regard to the uchma, the dark part, the black part of the eye, so that both an animal and a human being have a round type dark part of eyes. However, in the form of the eye socket, the shape of the human eye is different than the shape of the socket of an animal eye. Upiv doima kishel chazir. Omar Rav Papa. Once again, you see the triangle around Rav Papa to remind you that Rav Papa's style in these Mishnayos, in his comment on these Mishnayos, is to qualify the comparison. So Rav Papa says, lo tema. You don't say, in comparing the mouth of the Bechor, in order to be a mum, that has to look literally like that of a swine. So lo tema de shapid uporos. Shapid has to do with round, which is true in the case of a swine, and poros is the extension of the lip of a swine mouth, the upper part, the upper lip, extends further than the lower lip. So round and upper lip extension is what a swine really looks like. However, Rav Papa says, Elo kevan deporos af agav delo shapid. It would be enough to call it a mum, a blemish, if you have the upper lip extending beyond the lower lip, even though it's not round. Vishinital roiv hamedaber shel lishono. Masnisin moni, our Mishnah that speaks about the majority of the free part of the tongue is a mum. That is Rabbi Yehuda Hi. That conforms to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya. In the following source, you will see two opinions, and Rabbi Yehuda is the second opinion, which will resemble our Mishnah. The source says, V'eshin ital rov halosha. What is a mum if the majority of the tongue is missing? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, rov hamedaber shel lashono. It will be a mum even if not the majority of the whole tongue, but a majority of the free part of the tongue is missing. You notice with the dashed underline how it makes it easy to see how Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that which is similar to that of our Mishnah, both of whom made reference to the medaber. The Mishnah. Umaisa shalechi hatachtoin oidef al ha'elyoin. Notice we've dashed underlined the word tachton because this is a new point. An incident involving a case where the lower jaw of a bechor was oidef al elyon, extended beyond the upper part of its mouth. Vishal Rav Shimon Amliyo lachachomim viomru hare zemum. The question Rav Shimon Amliyo raised regarding this. This was raised as a question of Shimon Leo to the Chachamim, and they ruled that extension of lower jaw is a blemish. The Gemara asks, "My Tano Dekotoni Umaisa." What was taught in the Mishnayos before this, that the Mishnah here says, "and an incident involving etc." In other words, the problem here, as Rashi explains, is that what's taught in this Mishnah isn't parallel. In other words, we're bringing out a story to illustrate something. Usually, stories illustrate something that had been taught previously. But this was not taught previously, an issue of an extended jaw, lower part of mouth. So the Gemara explains, Mishum disnan piv doime lechazir. We had in the previous Mishnah, you can see an arrow that appears in the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you align this with the arrow a little bit higher up on the page, you'll notice a point was made. Upiv doime lechazir. Upligi rabbonon olei derbi ilah. And in that teaching about piv doime lechazir, we saw that was only Elah's opinion, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. And we are telling you, ki pligi rabbon alei de Rebbe ila b'sfasel yoino deves ala tachtona. The point of this Mishnah is to convey the idea that the machlokes between ila and the rabbonon is with an upper lip extending beyond lower. Avol sha'ach tachtona oy deves al yoino areze mum. But where the lower jaw extends beyond the upper part, that is a blemish. That's not a machloikis. Umaisinami, and an incident also took place, shelechi atachton oidef al ha'elyoin, where the lower jaw extended beyond the upper. Shoal Rabbi Shimon Amliel Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon Amliel consulted Chachamim regarding this, v'yomru harei ze mum. And they declared that this is a mum. So, just to review the point here, the reason the maisa here is taught is, in fact, it backs up something that was implied in the earlier Mishnah. The earlier Mishnah mentioned that there was a controversy between Elah and the Chachamim regarding the upper extending, implying that regarding the lower extending, that's not a point of controversy. And in fact, we have this Mishnah that brings that out, that there was a mice involving lower extending, and the Chachamim ruled that it is, in fact, a mum. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice the question lasts a few lines, and that's indicated by the long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, "V'ha gabi Adam hu disnan?" It is only in the case of Adam. Adam is a reference to a Kohen. The rules of blemishes apply not only to animals in the context of sacrifices and Bechor, but they apply also to the priesthood, the kahuna. What type of Kohen is able to function as a Kohen and serve in the Beis HaMikdash? So regarding Adam, it says, Disnan, Sfaso yoyna oidefes ala tachtoina, the upper lip extends beyond the lower, O sha tachtoina oidefes ala yoyna, hare zemum, or lower extends beyond upper, that constitutes a blemish. Gabi Adam hu dichtiv, regarding a person, or specifically a Kohen, it says, Ish Ish Mizer Aaron. That's the Pasuk, and the drosh on that Pasuk is, Ish Sheshove Bezar Shel Aaron. When is a Kohen considered kosher? When he is similar to the others, when he is looks normal. So the issue of normalcy in the context of this lip extension, this is a factor when it comes to Zaro Shel Aaron, it comes to Kehuna, Avol Bevehemolo, but this requirement with regard to lip abnormalcy doesn't constitute a problem with regard to Behemos. So how is it that we are teaching lip extension as a problem in the context of animals? Omar Rav Papa, Loi Kashya. Ha the is bo etzem, ha the less bo etzem. If the lip extension is a result of, we'll say, extra bone material, then that is a mum even by animals. However, the teaching that we had in just now, just above, regarding the lip extension as being a restriction only by kahuna, by people, that is if the lip extension exists without extra bone material. Before proceeding with the new Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin under our topic heading, and we've written mum, number one, ba'oizen, regarding ears, and number two, bezonaf, regarding tail. The Mishnah. Oizen hagedi hoisa kfula. The ear of a gedi, a goat, that was kfula, doubled. The Rashi at the second line from the top, Oizen Hagdi Shoisakfula, She Yeshlo Shte Oznaim Mitzad Echod. It has what appears to be two ears on one side of its head, Oizen Besoich Oizen, one growing within the other. So an ear within an ear on one side of its head would be a problem of a mumum. When we say one side of its head, we're suggesting that it has two ears on either side of the head, but one of those two ears is a double ear, one within the other. Omru chachomim bizman shihu etzem echod mum v'im eino etzem echod eino mum. It's my understanding from the Gemara that follows and the Rashi on this Mishnah that the term etzem, which usually translates as bone, is a reference to cartilage. So the Chachamim are saying that the problem of this double ear is only in a case that it has a singular cartilage that is folded over. But if it's not an etzem echod, so it's not a mum. The Rashi explains this, realizing, of course, that in all of these mum sugyas that we have been dealing with since the beginning of the perek, it would be of much greater advantage if we had pictures and certainly live hands-on experience with these things. It might be pointed out that the Gemara says in the Masechah Sanhedrin that Rav spent 18 months on a farm dealing with animals in order to learn these halachas of mumin. So you can imagine how intricate and detailed these are, and to really have an understanding, if the great Amoira Rav required 18 months of exposure to that, so where does that leave us? So in the absence of all of these, of any other support materials, we glance at the Rashi, who mentions Bizman shu etzem echad, Rashi, third line from the top, she'ein lo ela tnuch, echad shenichbal tnuch ha'elyoin l'seichoi. Tnuch would be the cartilage of the ear. The upper part of the ear is folded into the ear. V'nishaber l'mato, and is growing and attached to the lower part. Hare ze mum. V'eino etzem echad, Rashi goes on to say, she'atnuchim muvdolim l'malo, the tnuchim, the cartilages are separate above, they're not attached. Eino mum, it doesn't constitute a blemish. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel Omer, Zonov Hakiti, Shehu Doime Lishel Chazir, the tail of a goat that looks like that of a swine. V'she'ein, no, that would be a mum. V'she'ein bo shalosh chulios, or a tail that has doesn't have three vertebrae. Hare ze mum. That constitutes a blemish. Tanu rabbanan, piv bolum v'ragolov mivulamos. An animal's mouth that's bolum, that's Rashi says katsar, is shortened. And raglav mevulamos, legs that are shortened. Machmas horevach eino mum. Machmas hoetzem hare ze mum. Rashi explains this as referring to the mouth. If we look in the Rashi, im machmas horevach she'ein lo revach kokach bapeh. Its mouth is simply doesn't have a lot of space in its mouth. Velo be'etzem, velo be'bsar ha'sfosayim, not in its bone, nor in its the flesh of its lips, eino mum. So that doesn't create a mum. Ve'im machmas ho'etzem, Rashi goes on, sha'sfosayim psuchos yofe, the lips open all right, avol ha'lechoyayim aduko zubazu. Its jaws, though, are clenched one to the other. She'eino yochol lefoischon, it's unable to open them. The chi'ochil lepoi marches usayim, when it eats or it poi is the noise an animal makes. It expands its lips. The nira etzem kenoid harezemum, and the bone, though the jaw structure looks like a node, a flask. That is a mum. Rashi goes on to say that the issue of mevulamos, this issue of revach versus etzem applies to feet as well. V'chein v'raglayim, sh'raglav tzoros machmas ho'revach shel mido achas ho'etzem v'abosor shel kapos raglayim elo shelo hoyu hapsios rechovin kolkach eino mum. If it has shortened legs because of the dimensions of its legs, where the bone or the flesh of its feet are mido achas, they're one size, rather, and only that its steps are not wide, not very wide. That's not a mum. V'machmas ho'etzem sho'etzem kotzor v'habosor marchiv milamato. If you have a short bone with wide flesh at the bottom, v'yotzei l'chutz, and this wide flesh extends outwards, hare zemum. That does constitute a blemish. Of course, what we are describing really needs some type of illustration to fully appreciate what we're learning about. But for our purposes, though, we see this concept of a shortened mouth or shortened legs are dependent. When is it a mum and when is it not a mum? And as the source says, if it's because of revach, it's not a mum. If it's because of bone, it is a mum. Oznav fulos, beha sach sus, achas areze mum. If it's a singular cartilage that you have, as we saw above, folded over, that is a mum. Beshte chas chasuyois, eino mum. If it's a double cartilage, then and it's not it's not attached at the top, then it's not a blemish. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Zonov Hagdi, Shehu Doime Lishel Chazir. The tail of a goat that looks like that of a pig is a mum. Omar Rav Papa. You'll notice we have a triangle again around Rav Papa. This, as we mentioned earlier, shows how Rav Papa comments along these Mishnayos in a qualifying fashion. Lo tema, you don't have to say dekricha uketina, that it's coiled and small and thin, that which is a full fledged pig looking tail. Elo dekricha af agav dealima. It's enough if it's coiled, even though it's a thick tail, which is characteristic of other animals. That's enough to make it into a blemish. Oy she'ein bo shalosh chulios v'chulei. Omar Rav Huna. Before going on, let us glance at the topic heading we have. L'yashev. Our job in the Gemara here is to resolve divrei Rav Huna u'mokor tanoi. Rav Huna will make a comment, and there will be a question raised from a Tanaic source, and our Gemara's job will to be resolve these points. Be'inyan misbechuyus bezonov shenechshav mum, regarding the number of vertebrae in a tail that would make it into a blemish or constitute a baal mum. So first we open with Rav Huna, and then the Gemara will challenge it with from a Tanaic source. Omar Rav Huna bigedi, when you're dealing with a goat. Shtayim hare zemum, two vertebrae. It's too few in number. So you have only two vertebrae. That is a blemish. Shalosh, if it has three vertebrae in its tail, eino mum. Betle, when with dealing with a lamb, shalosh hare zemum, arba eino mum. Three vertebrae is yes a blemish. Four is not a blemish. Mesve, we raise a problem on Rav Huna from the following Tanaic source, Bigedi, with regard to a goat, and we've dashed underline Gedi, so as you can compare this to Rav Huna's reference to a Gedi, also dashed underline. So the source says, with regard to a goat, Achas Harei Zemum, one vertebrae would be a mum, Shtayim Eino Mum. Betle, and with regard to a lamb, here too we have a point of difference, shtayim harei zemum, whereas Rav Huna said shalosh is a mum, and here it says shalosh ain a mum, that three is not a mum, whereas Rav Huna said three would be a mum, and arba is not a mum. Here in this Tanaic source, three is already not a mum. So tiufta the Rav Huna, we have a repudiation of Rav Huna from this Tanaic source. The Gemara explains that, okay, true that this repudiates Rav Huna. However, Rav Huna masnisen at ise. Rav Huna was confused by our Mishnah. Ihu savar, he, Rav Huna, thought midaresha bigdi, from the fact that the Mishnah opened up talking about a goat, when it spoke about the ear, which was the early opening of the Mishnah, it spoke about the ear, but the ear of a goat. As the Mishnah continues, and it talks about tails, so seifonami bidi. Rav Huna was thinking that the issue of the seifa, which dealt with number of vertebrae, the seifa specifically referring to the vertebrae, nami bigdi, is also restricted to a goat, veloihi. And that's not true though. Resha bigdi, the opening of the Mishnah, was with regard to the ear, that was goat related. The seifa betle, the seifa which mentioned that two chulios is a mum, that is talking about a lamb. So Rav Huna mentioned two as being a mum, mistakenly thought that the two that the Mishnah said two vertebrae is a mum, mistakenly thought that was referring to a goat, when that's not so. The two that is a mum is referring to the two that the Mishnah said is a mum is referring to a lamb. And that, in fact, is what we saw in the Tanaic source quoted as well. When it spoke about the tleh, it said two is a mum. Rabbi Chanino ben Antignus Omer, the Mishnah we should introduce just by glancing at our topic heading on the outside margin. We're going to talk about a yabeles. A yabeles is translated often as a wart, some type of additional growth. In the course of our sugya, we will make reference to Isbe and Lesbe Etzem. this yabelis that has or does not have bone in it. And also, we'll make reference to be'eno, its eye, and begufo, on the rest of its body, where this yabelis appears. So, the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus Omer, es shiabelis be'eno, v'shenifgam etzem yodo v'raglo, a wart in the eye, or a mutilation of the foreleg or hind leg bone, v'shenifsak atzmoy shel piv, or there's a break in its in a bone in its mouth, eino achas gedoylo v'achas ketano. One eye is large, or one eye is small. Ozno achas gedoylo v'achas ketano. An ear, one large, one small. Bimare. That means it's obvious that it's one unusual size, either too large or too small, is something that's recognizable just by looking at it. Avolo b'mido, not if the discrepancy in size is a result of some type of exact measure. In other words, it's something that you don't see the difference. You don't see that one ear is larger than the other, or one ear is smaller than the other. You don't notice it, but if you were to measure it, you would then find them to be different. That would not be a mum. In order to be a mum, it has to be bemara, something you can see, not something that you reveal through measuring. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, achas mi beitzov gedoylo kishtayim shebechaverta. This is a reference to the testicles of the bechor. If one of its testicles is twice as large as the other one, that would be a mum. Velo hodu lo chachom. And Lachom said, the fact that one is twice as large as the other is not enough to classify it as a mum. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading, which is a structural note featuring the diamonds that we see on the outside margin. This is here as a reference to Stira B'Mishnayis. There will be a seeming contradiction regarding Tanaic sources. Afterwards, the Gemara will introduce that in addition to seeming discrepancy in Tanaic sources, we also have a Pasuk to deal with. Afterwards, the Gemara will then feature resolutions as they are appear with triangles in our Gemara. You'll notice these triangles with the colored in tips to distinguish them from the use of triangles before with Rav Popa. And we've noted at the outside margin these are Nisyonos Liyashev Gimel Mekoros. These will be attempts to resolve three sources. Ha-posuk u'shnei ha-mishnayis. On the one hand, we have a verse, and we in addition to that, two mishnayis. And we also have he'ora, a little note that mumlatz la'ayein barashi la'ora chasugya. It's worthwhile to learn this sugya alongside with the Rashi as you go along. So, as we turn to the Gemara, we open up Lameimra Diabeles Have Muma. Are we suggesting in our Mishnah that Yabeles constitutes a blemish? Viraminu. We raise a problem, a contradiction. It says, V'elu she'ein shochtim aleihem loy b'mikdash v'lo b'medina. The following, which will be mentioned in a moment, are phenomenon that would not allow them to be shechted as a korban. In other words, there is a problem. There's a psul. It's psul as a korban. However, velo b'medina, it's not a blemish to allow the slaughtering outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that we have in between area, something that's psul, but not a mum. And what is that? Baal gerav ubaal yabeles. We've dashed on the line Baal Yabeles because this is the focus of our attention. According to this source, a Yabeles is not a mum. It might render it unfit as a sacrifice, but it's not a mum that would allow the slaughter of it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So our Mishnah says Yabelis is a mum. This Tanaic source, it's not a mum. The Gemara asks, V'tispara, how can you say that it's not a mum? Hok sivo Yabelis b'raisa. But the Torah, when making reference to mumin, blemishes, it mentions Yabelis. So what we have right now is we have a posuk and two Tanaic sources. What are we to make of all of these? Elo loy kashya. Ha begufoy, ha be'enoy. When you're dealing with a yabelis on its body, so that's not a full-fledged blemish. If it's in its eye, then it would be considered a blemish. So at this point, sources that indicated it's a blemish, we're talking about the eye. Source that would indicate it's not, that's its body. The Gemara though asks, Michti, Kroh stamoksiv. The posuk doesn't qualify. It's stated unqualified. Mali begufo, mali be'eno. What difference does it make whether it's body or eye? In other words, even on body, it should be a mum. So how can you tell us, in light of the posuk, that begufo, it's not a mum? Elo lo kashya. Ha di'is bo etzem, ha de'les bo etzem. If the abelis has bone material in it as well, we'll describe it as a type of wart, a growth with bone in it, that is a mum. If it's less bo etzem, if it does not have a bone in it, so then it's not necessarily a mum. And we'll see now more about it. Dikra di'is bo etzem. As far as the posuk is concerned, it says yabelis is a mum. It is because it has a bone in it. Masnisin, the Tanaic sources that we have learned, the less bo etzem. We're talking about a yabelis without bone in it. Bieno have mumo. Our Mishnah that said it is a mum, it's because the yabelis is in the eye. Begufo lo have mumo. That which is the yabelis that does not have bone material in it, that's on its body. What do we say about that? It's not a mum, but it is pusil, as was indicated in the second diamond source, the Bay's source we had above. Well, the Gemara now asks on this very last point. The less bo etzem begufo, if it doesn't have a bone in it, and it's on the body of the animal, psula, are you saying that it is pusil? Well, that's what it seemed to say in source in the Bay's Tanaic source. But why should it be even pusil? Hare tiltul bi'almahu. It's basically just another flap of flesh. Disanya, Rebbe Lozer Omer, Bale hatilulin, psulin ba'adam, uksherin bebehema. Extra pieces of fleshy growths, when it comes to a person, which is a kahuna issue, that is a problem. That will render him unfit to serve as a kohen. However, regarding animals, there's no problem. It's kosher. It can be offered even on the mizbeach. So to explain diamond source bays above as non-bone on body, and hence it's not kosher on the mizbeach, that's not true. It's kosher. Elo, idi, kosher means it's able to be offered on as a korban. Elo, idi, v'idi, v'eino. The two Tanaic sources are referring to the eye. So, as far as the posuk is concerned, we leave that as a yabelis with a bone in it. That is a mum. However, regarding the Tanaic sources, we're talking about the eye, and of course there's no bone in it. Velo kashya, and still there's no contradiction. Ha b'shochor, ha b'lovan. If it's in the dark part of the eye, then the yabelis will be a mum, as our Mishnah indicates. And ha b'lovan, if it's in the white part of the eye, so it's considered pusil, and therefore it's not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. However, it's not a mum that would allow it to be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks, V'ha ein mumin belovan? And the point of this question is, ein mumin belovan means, not only is it not, there's no mum, there's no problem when you're dealing with the white of the eye. And therefore, it should be mutter even as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So this answer that we gave, that source bays, Taneg source bays, that its posel is when the yabelis is in the lavan, that's not true. Ela idi v'idi b'lavan. Both Taneic sources are referring to the white of the eye. Omar Reish Lakish, lo kashya. Ha de is ba se'ar, ha de les ba se'ar. We're talking about in the white of the eye, and the source that said, ein shochtin aleihen, that is because there is a hair in the abeles. Ha de les ba se'ar, that is what's meant, ein mumin delavon, it's a growth in the white of the eye that has no hair in it. Eino achas gedola v'chule. Tana, gedola kishel egel. When we speak about an eye that's large, it's large like the eye of a calf. Ketana, a small eye, is kishel avos, like that of a goose. Ozno achas gedola v'chule. Now, this is going on the issue of the beitza, where the Mishnah Tanakama mentioned that if one testicle is twice as large as the other, that is a mum. The Chachamim disagreed. So the Gemara asks, V'rabbonon ad kama, how far do the Rabbonon go in, we'll say, allowing a discrepancy? Tanya, acherim oimrim afilu eino lishnia ela ke pool kshera. Even if the second testicle is as small as a pea, it is still kosher. So we see that the Rabbanon don't really have any standard with regard to discrepancy in sizes when it comes to testicles. The only thing that matters is that there are two. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.